That's what it's all about, right? So it's all about. It's about one friend telling another friend about the best friend that they've ever had. And we gave you out carabiners last week. We said we want that to be your keychain. Every time you pull out your keychain, and we want you to pray for that person, that one life that you care about, their eternity. And already we're seeing a bunch of the carabiners coming in. That means people this past week have shared Jesus with other folks and they've given their lives over to him. And we want to put them all together, make one strand after another strand, and just look at one miracle story after another of how God uses us to infiltrate and to plunder hell and to populate heaven. So if you don't have a carabiner, make sure you stop by the information center and get a carabiner and start praying intentional prayers for the people in your life that you are concerned about where they're going to go when they breathe their last breath on this earth. If you believe there's a heaven and there's a hell, then get a carabiner and start praying for that person. Last week, we mentioned the M1 campaign. We did a two-week campaign above and beyond our normal tithes and offerings, and we asked people to give to the campaign of building buildings in for churches overseas. And you guys were so generous once again. You gave a total of $483,000. So thank you so much for caring about others. We are finishing up this series today called Knocking on Heaven's Door. We're going to be talking about prayer. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing a series called On the Other Side. And what we're going to be looking at is what happens when a person dies. We're going to look at heaven. We're going to answer a ton of questions about heaven. We're going to look at hell as well, judgment day. If you're curious about those kinds of things, make sure that you come. Bring a friend or two with you. It's going to be a great time. But today, we're going to conclude our series, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Let's talk about prayer for a second. A conversation between two people can be a very difficult thing, can't it? Even if you're in the same room or if you're on the phone talking to each other. There was a husband, he was in a frantic. He called 911 and the operator answered the phone. He said, "My wife is having contractions. They're 2 minutes apart." The operator said, "Is this her first child?" He said, "No, I just told you this is the husband calling you on the phone right now." See how difficult communication can be? And sometimes things that are obvious aren't obvious to everybody. Like there was a little old lady and she was driving down the highway going 22 miles an hour. Well, the highway patrolman pulled her over and she was offended. She rolled down her window and she said, "I don't understand why you are pulling me over right now. I'm not going over the speed limit." He said, "No, ma'am, you're not going over the speed limit. You're well under the speed limit. And that's just as much of a danger as going over the speed limit. Ma'am, I clocked you going 22 miles an hour." She said, "Well, that's the speed limit on this road." He said, "No, ma'am, it's not." She said, "Well, you're mistaken. There's a sign right there, says 22. He said, "Ma'am, that is the number of the highway that you're on. That's highway 22. She said, "Oh, I didn't recognize that." He said, "Yeah." He looked in the car and there were five other elderly ladies and they all were white as a sheet. And he looked at those ladies, he said, are you ladies okay?" And the driver said, "They'll be fine in a minute. We just got off Highway 134. You can see it, can't you? I mean, you can see it happening. I got one more. There was a guy who was in jail and he dug a tunnel. And he dug all the way through, and he ended up popping out at a preschool playground. He saw the sun above him, the blue sky. He said, "I'm free, I'm free." And the little girl said, "So what? I'm four." Communication's hard, isn't it? Hard enough when it's two people in the same room or on a phone. It's even more difficult when we're talking about communicating with God. How do you do that? So many of us, we want to have an effective prayer life where we're like, "I don't even know how to approach him. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know if I'm saying the right thing at the right time." We're going to talk about that today. You know, the disciples had the same questions that you and I have when it comes to prayer. And they saw Jesus talking to the Heavenly Father, and they saw an intimacy there. And so one day, they came up to Jesus and they said, "Would you teach us how to pray?" Up until this point in time, the only people they'd ever seen pray were the religious leaders, the Pharisees at the time. And to be honest with you, their prayers weren't to connect with God. They weren't honest prayers. They were just prayers to put on a big show for everybody else. But they had seen Jesus pray and they saw the difference. They had seen him pray again and again and again. Mark 1:35 says, "While it was still dark, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went out to a solitary place and he prayed." That was his routine. He did that day after day after day. Did you know that Jesus prayed before he made any major decision? That Jesus prayed before many of the miracles that he did. That Jesus prayed before he ate. He was a praying machine. He also prayed for the disciples, and the disciples listened to Jesus pray for them. Did you also know that right now Jesus is praying for you? That's a pretty awesome thought, isn't it? But it's true. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, "Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." That's incredible. Well, the disciples, they want this close, intimate relationship with God, the kind of relationship that Jesus has with God. And so they come to him and say, "Would you tell us how to pray? We want to know." And so Jesus gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, before we get into this, I need to explain something to you. We have jacked this prayer up. And you say, "What are you talking about?" Well, there are certain traditions that they think this is a prayer that you're supposed to say over and over and over again. And you won't find that in Scripture. In fact, just a few verses earlier, Jesus said, "Don't keep on babbling like the pagans. Don't keep on repeating yourself over and over and over again." And so what did we do? We did the direct opposite of what Jesus just commanded us to do. The Lord's Prayer was not given to us to tell us what to say. The Lord's Prayer was given to us as a model or a formula of when we come to God, these are some things that we can talk to God about. And I think you're going to have some eye-opening experience here. And if you use the outline that I've given you today in your notes section, so you open up the Sagebrush app, go to this week's message notes, and if you'll just have these prompts, these little sentences that prompt you through the Lord's Prayer, I think you're going to connect more intimately with God than you ever have before. So let's break this Lord's Prayer down. The prayer begins with praise to God. So the first thing we do is when we come to talk to God, we praise him for who he is. Jesus starts his prayer saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, when Jesus used the term "our Father," it sent shockwaves to the disciples. Nobody had ever approached God up until this point in time by calling God their Father. And here's what's interesting. The term that Jesus uses for Father is the most intimate term they had in the first century. It's the word Abba, and it means daddy. You go to Israel today, you'll see a little kid running around saying, "Abba, Abba, daddy, daddy." So Jesus starts the prayer and says, "This is your dad that you're talking to." Do you understand that? I mean, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you became a child of God, and God is your daddy. That should blow you away. It was years ago, I was coming to Saturday night church with my three girls. My wife had abandoned me. She had gone to the airport to drop her mom off so she could fly back to Kansas City. And so I had the three girls in a minivan. I was cruising in a minivan, and my two oldest daughters, Hannah and Mackenzie, they began to play the one-up game. And you know, your kids will play this game from time to time. And Hannah began the game by saying, "Well, I'm cooler than you, Mackenzie, because I'm a friend of mom's." And so Mackenzie, without missing a beat, she said, "Well, that's nothing. I'm cooler than you because I'm a friend of dad's." And then she looked at me and winked at me as if to say, "You can pay me later, you know, for what I just said there." Well, Hannah was not deterred at all. She came back and she said, "Well, that's nothing." She said, "I'm cooler than you because I'm a friend of God." I said, "Mackenzie, we have a winner and you are not it. I'll tell you that right now." But Mackenzie did not miss a beat. She came back and she said, well, that's nothing. I'm not just a friend of God. I'm a child of God, and God is my daddy. Hannah looked at her and said, who's your daddy? She said, God is my daddy. And Hannah looked at me and she said, daddy, do I have two daddies? And I said, ask your mom. I don't know what to tell you about her. I didn't do that. I said, yes, Hannah, you have two daddies. And then Mackenzie piped back in. She said, yeah, and God loves you more than dad ever will. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. She said, is that true? I said, yeah, that's true. But never forget, I love you more than mom. I'd like to say I didn't say that. I did. I did say that. I'm so glad my kids know that God is their father and that they have a close, intimate relationship with him and that they know that they are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is security in that, isn't there? To know that he's for you, that he loves you. I mean, if you could just somehow grasp that. And you would see him in that light, as Jesus wanted us to see God the Father. You'd just crawl up into his lap. And you would just let him hold you. And you would tell him everything that's going on in your life and every fear and every frustration and every anxiety, knowing that he is a dad that loves to hear from his children and that he moves and he intervenes because he's Almighty God too. Now, for some of you, this is a hard concept. And I get that. You had a cruddy dad. You had a dad that was mean, judgmental, abusive. And so when you think about having God be your father, it scares you a little bit. Here's what I would challenge you with. Let God be the dad you'd never had. Because he's head over heels in love with you. He is for you in every way. And all he wants to do is just have a relationship with you. And it's not based upon, listen, it is not based upon your performance. It's just based upon the fact that he loves you because you're his kid and he wants to do life together with you. So the first thing we look at is we say, wow, I can't believe it. Our father, my dad, who art in heaven, that should blow us away. I read a story this past week about a young girl named Diane Disney. She was the daughter of Walt Disney. She was in class when she found out that her dad was the Walt Disney. She said when she was older, she asked the question, when did you figure out that your dad was Walt Disney? And she said, it wasn't until I was like 6 or 7 years old. She said, my mom and dad, they did a really good job of keeping us away from the Hollywood spotlight. And we had a really normal life. My dad would drive me to school. He'd pick me up. He would take me to swim lessons, dance class, things like that. And we just had a normal family, normal routines, just like anybody else. So I really wasn't aware that my dad was the Walt Disney. She said, I was about 7 years old. I'm sitting in class, and this girl hits her and says, you know your dad is Walt Disney. She said, yeah. And she said, no, the Walt Disney. And Diane said, no, he's not. Well, she went home that night, and she decided she was going to approach her dad to find out if he was the Walt Disney. And so she looked at him for the longest time before she said anything to him, and she thought, well, he just looks like a normal guy. He's tired like anybody else's dad. So she walked up to him and she said, Dad, are you Walt Disney? And he looked at her with a smile and he said, yes. She said, no, I mean, are you the Walt Disney? And his smile grew bigger and he said, yes. She said, can I have your autograph? My dad's not Walt Disney. My dad's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He is for me in every single way. So we come to him with confidence. He is our Heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh God, don't let me do anything today that would disrespect or dishonor your name. And then the passage continues on. It says the next section is we pray for our priorities, our priorities. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, this is where we start to align our priorities with his priorities. So this is what happens in our prayer time many times, is we just come to God with our agenda. And we don't slow ourselves down long enough to realize, is what I'm even asking for in God's will? Is this in God's plan? So he says, the second thing you do after you praise him for being kind, praise him for being holy, praise him for being constant, praise him for being into your life and caring about you, going before you. You praise him for being your dad. And then you say, I want to align my life with what you want for my life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So how does this play out? Okay, I'll give you some sentence prayers that maybe you can, this will help you start your mind going that direction. You could pray something like this. God, I have this sinful habit, and I keep going back to it, and I don't want to. But to be honest with you, there are times in my life where I love my sin more than I love you. I'm praying for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in my life. You could pray this. God, I haven't been present with my spouse. I have allowed apathy and laziness to get the best of me, and my marriage isn't all that it could be because I have disconnected, and I know that's not your will for me. So God, your kingdom come in my marriage. Your will be done. Some of you came in here today, or you're watching from a multi-site, or you're watching from home, and you've got a grudge against somebody else. Someone has wounded you. Someone has hurt you again. There's nothing in you that wants to forgive that person. So you go to God. You say, God, I've been hurt again, and I've been wounded again, and I have forgiven them multiple times over and over and over and over again, and I don't want to forgive them anymore, but you keep forgiving me. And I'm supposed to take that forgiveness and pass it on to somebody else. So even though I don't want to, your kingdom come, your will be done. Some of you have recently given your life to Jesus. Others of you gave your life to Jesus years ago, but you've never been baptized. You've never taken that step of faith. Pride is getting the best of you. Whose kingdom you building up, friend? Try to make a name for yourself or make his name great. It's time to humble yourself and say, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, I'm not putting off my baptism any longer. I'm going to shine for you and let everyone know that you are the leader and forgiver of my life. God, I haven't been giving you my best. I've been giving other things my best. Busyness and activities have taken my heart and my soul away from you. I'm so sorry. I know I'm here for you because of you. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. So what do? We pray for our priorities to line up with his, and then we pray for provision. He says, give us today our daily bread. So this is where we come to God with our needs. You need help with your parenting? Ask him for help. He will help you. You need help with your marriage? Hey, he will help you. You need help finding that right job that fits your personality just right, he'll lead you to that job. Ask him for it. Ask him for help. You need help in your business that he's entrusted to your care, he will intervene in that business. Give that business over to him and watch what he will do. Now, I want to make this very, very clear, because for many of us, this is all you ever do when you pray. It's like you think you've got an Aladdin's lamp and you rub it and you just tell God everything you want and everything you need, and it's nothing more than a give me, give me, give me, bless me, bless me, bless me prayer. It's time to grow up. Because prayer's more than about rubbing some lamp and thinking a genie's gonna pop out and say, your wish is my command. That's not what prayer is all about. Prayer's not about changing God, convincing God. It's about changing us and aligning his will with our will, that we would be moved to do the things and want the things that he wants for our lives. So this isn't about your greed. This is about your need. Let me explain something. Motives matter to the Lord. So when you ask him for something, ask yourself, is this for your kingdom or is this for his kingdom? Should you pray for success? The answer is yes. Because what's the opposite of success? Failure. Anybody here want to pray for failure? Oh, God, I hope and pray that you make me a failure. I just want to loose and just not do well at anything. Nobody. Pray for success. But why do you want the success? To make your name great or to make his name great? When he blesses you, is the blessing that you're asking for, is it for you? Or is it to also bless other people along the way? Motives matter to the Lord. A lot of folks right now are trying to be influencers. A lot of 20-somethings, 30-somethings trying to be influencers on social media. Can I just ask you a question? Why? Why do you want that? Is it to build up your little kingdom or to build up the kingdom of God? Are you going to use that platform to glorify his name or to glorify your name? Motives matter to God. So we come to him and we make our request. If you're worried about your finances, talk to him about it. You're worried about your marriage, talk to him about it. Worried about your health, talk to him about it. He will intervene in your life. But it's about your needs, not about your greeds. Let me get the next one. Then we pray for our relationships. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, this is where we come clean before God. It's time for us to move past the prayers where we say, oh, and by the way, God, forgive me for all my sins. Amen. When we talk about forgiving us of our debts, we should name the debts. We should name what we've done. Why? Well, let me ask you something. Somebody hurts you, someone wounds you, and they come up to you and they say, hey, man, forgive me for whatever it was that I did. Is that the apology you're looking for? No, you want it to be specific. You want it to be heartfelt. You want repentance. You want a change of behavior. So here's what we do with our sin. We gloss over it. We say, oh, yeah, and by the way, forgive me for all my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't feel it. There's no conviction about it. And so what do we end up doing? We do the same sin again and again and again. Because we never get honest about it. So here's what I do when I pray. I get very specific. And I tell him what I've done. So I'll give you a prayer I prayed last week. I wounded my wife with my words. And I didn't want to, but I did. And you know how much I hate it when I wound her, because that's never my intention. And I've apologized to her, but I need to apologize to you. Because not only did I hurt her, but I hurt you. Because you did not place her into my life so that I would talk to her in that way. Please forgive me. Help me to go a new direction. You could pray something like this. God, I exaggerated once again. I made myself look bigger than I really was, and by the time I got done with that story, I didn't know who that happened to, because it didn't happen to me. I'm a liar, and I'm an exaggerator, and I care more about what other people think about me than what you think about me, and I'm so sorry. I'm asking you to forgive me and help me go a new direction. You can pray something like this. God, I got a bad temper. And I let it fly again. I was at work, and I got frustrated, and I let it rip, and I wounded some people, and I made you look bad. Because everybody at my office, they all know that I'm a follower of yours, and I was a terrible example of what it is to be a child of yours. Please forgive me. I will go to every single person, and I will make it right with them, and I will apologize. Give me the strength to do it. Do you see what I'm talking about here? Try this out. You in your prayers this next week, just start naming them. one by one by one, and being honest with God about what you did, the damage that you did to yourself, to someone else, to the heart of God. And let me tell you what will happen to you. It'll sober you up when it comes to your sin. And you won't justify your sin or rationalize your sin or act like it's not that big of a deal because you'll feel it. And it will move you, you ready for this, to repent, which means you'll start to change. God will begin to transform you. God will begin to help you, and you will become a new creation. You'll become what Jesus wants you to become, what you deep down inside want to become. But as long as we gloss over it and we act like it's not that big of a deal, why would we ever think any life change would ever occur? We're just going to keep doing the same things over and over and over again. So he says, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we accept the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God, and then we in turn forgive those who have hurt us. Think about this. If you're spending your time with God and you're listing your sins and you're asking him for forgiveness, then someone else wounds you, you're more likely to forgive them because of what he just forgave you for. When you're not listing your sins, you could become arrogant. You could become prideful and full of yourself and greatly offended at what somebody else did while you ignore what you did to God. But when you're honest with God and your heart is tender before God and you tell him what's really going on, then when someone hurts you, you say, well, I gotta forgive that. Because look at what everything that God has forgiven me for. Now, this is interesting. In this passage of scripture, he says, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. That seems pretty intense, doesn't it? Why is that? Because your good, loving dad doesn't want you to live a life of bitterness and hatred and malice towards somebody else where you hate somebody else. We're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And so we remember what God has forgiven us for, and then we in turn forgive others. And let me tell you something about forgiveness. It's not a gift that you give to them. It's a gift that you give to yourself. Because now you're free of that burden. You're free of that bitterness, and you're able to live the life that he always intended for you and me to live. Next up is this. We pray for protection. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, you have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. He hates you. Not only do you have that going on in your life, but you have a sin nature inside of you as well. We end up in places we should never be, doing things we should never do, and we let ourselves to do it. Truth be told, every single one of us has weaknesses. Every single one of us has areas of our life left to ourselves. We will destroy ourselves. So what do? We pray for protection. We pray that God would be our refuge, be our comfort. He would be our strength. You could pray something like this. God, help me. Help me to stay away from my phone. Because every time I'm on my phone, I keep going back to those websites. I keep going back to those videos. I keep going back to that softcore porn. And it's messing me up. And I don't want to keep doing it, but God, I've got to be honest, I'm weak. So would you fill me with your strength so I don't go back to that anymore? You could pray something like this. God, help me to drive home tonight. To not stop off at a bar, not stop off at some liquor store, not stop off at some grocery store and buy beer. That stuff is messing me up, and it's messing up my family, and I've got to quit it. But I'm weak. I need your strength. Some of you are dating someone right now, and you so much long to be pure in that relationship. But let's be honest, you're not being pure. And the interesting thing is this, you're setting yourself up. You keep going places you shouldn't go, finding yourself alone in situations you shouldn't be in. You keep putting yourself in the most tempting predicaments that you can find, don't you? I get it. Just tell him I'm weak. I'm weak in this relationship. I love you, Jesus, but I keep doing this stuff. And I know this isn't your plan for my life, so make me strong. Strong enough to have the conversation to say, we're not doing that stuff anymore. We're going to honor God with this relationship. How can we expect God to bless our relationship if we're not going to honor him with it? For some of us, it's your mouth. You're an exaggerator, you're a liar, you're a gossip, you tear people down, you talk badly about people behind their back, and you do it all the time. Just tell God, I'm weak. Set a guard over my mouth that I might not sin against you. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Oh my Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Do these prayers sound a little different? Maybe some of the prayers that you've been praying lately? And can you imagine if you came before God and you were this gut level honest with him, how that would bring about an intimacy and a closeness with him, because you would be overwhelmed with his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness? And then the prayer ends, for yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. What are we reemphasizing? God, I want what you want. I'm here for you. Is there anything I can do for you? You're all that matters. You're all that matters to me. So I was working on this message, and I thought to myself, how are we going to end this message? And I thought, well, let's just practice this. What I'm going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to pray. And I'm going to lead you in just some sentences. And these are the same sentences, again, that are on the app under the message notes. And I just hope that you'll open that up this week when you really want to do business with God, and you'll let those sentences be prompts to do business with him. So here's what I want us to do. I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes, and I'm just going to lead you through it, okay? Everyone bow their heads, close your eyes. Let's start our prayer with just praising God. So tell God, I praise you for what, or I love you for what? Just a sentence or two. Do that right now. Just talk to God. I praise you for, I love you for. Now say, God, I surrender this to you. What have you been holding back from him? I surrender this to you. Tell him what it is. Now tell God your needs. God, I really need this. I need you to intervene in this situation. I need you to help me with this. God, this is what I need. Talk to him about it right now. Now confess your sins to the Lord. Say, God, I'm sorry, or God, I repent of. Now ask him to give you the strength to forgive someone that you've had a grudge against. Ask him to help you to forgive someone in the same way that you've been forgiven. So you say, God, help me to forgive. Talk to him about that. Now pray for his protection. God, help me to stay away from what? Or God, this is my weakness. Help me today to what? tell him that you want what he wants for your life. Dear Heavenly Father, our Abba Daddy, thank you for wanting a relationship with us, a close relationship. Thank you that we can come to you about anything. We praise you because you are awesome. You are Almighty God. You are the creator of the ends of the universe, and yet you know the number of hairs on our head. The number of thoughts that you have of us outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. You have collected every tear we've ever shed, and you've placed them in bottles. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our life. If there's any area of our life that isn't what you want it to be, reveal it to us so we can align ourselves with you. Lord, we have needs, and we're grateful that we can come to you, that whatever concerns us concerns you. Lord, we have sinned. We have wounded others. We have wounded you. Help us, Lord, to take that sin seriously, to repent of that sin, and to follow hard after you. And protect us. Protect us from the evil one. Protect us from ourselves. Because left to ourselves, we will really make a mess of our lives. All we want is what you want. We're here for you. To you be all the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.